I am your host, Dr. Michelle Kerwin-Bythewood, and I am coming to you live from Florida Memorial University, where the Health Foundation of South Florida is hosting the third annual Black Health Summit.
The warning is changed. Sometimes the warning stays the same.
That law had the effect of displacing over 500,000 Black and Brown members across the United States.
Health equity looks not only like equality in outcomes, but also equity in the process.
Expensive screening, those Black men are more likely to go. So check on your strong, strong, stoic, and silent friends. Encourage them to express what is troubling them. Provide a brave space for them to lay those troubles down.
What we're trying to do is, with the wealth that is migrating to South Florida, you know, we're trying to tap into that wealth, you know, so they can start making the investments necessary for us to kind of grow this initiative so that we can help more kids in the inner city and families.
Greetings and welcome to Black Health, a talk show addressing health issues that impact the Black community. I am your host, Dr. Michelle Kerwin-Bythewood. I am a board-certified pediatrician and the chief medical officer at the Pediatric and Family Health and Wellness Center in Miami Gardens, Florida. And I am coming to you live from Florida Memorial University, where the Health Foundation of South Florida is hosting the third annual Black Health Summit. Welcome, Alexander Rundlett, to Black Health. A pleasure to have you today.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Absolutely. I'm going to briefly introduce you. So Alexander Rundlett is a public policy trained lawyer with decades of experience working to strengthen our constitutional system and the rule of law by addressing the legal needs of marginalized communities, neutralizing power imbalances, and reducing economic inequality. You're a busy man.
It's a lot of work to be done.
So you were on one of the panels today, Where Are We Now? The Big P of Policy and Health Equity in the State of Florida. So what do we mean when we talk about Big P versus Little P policy?
Big P policy, it folds into the discussion earlier by Dr. Daniel Dawes in his book, The Political Determinants of Health. And one of the elements is policy, big P meaning policy. And that is basically the rules and resources that drive health outcomes. And we try to at least explain it so that advocates and stakeholders can plug into the process of how we influence policy. And that means obviously at governmental levels of like the federal, state, and local, that means the county or city levels. And then you can divide up those levels by the legislative branch, the judicial branch, and the administrative branch, the executive branch. So those are kind of like the various frameworks of the big P from the government perspective or the government aspect. The other part of it is obviously you have, for policy, you have kind of government-driven policy and also kind of market-based policies. And there's an interplay between those two because government sets the rules for the marketplace, right? So you can influence those in both ways.
Yes, government definitely sets the rules. Can you discuss some of the most significant legal barriers that marginalized communities face in addressing quality healthcare?
Certainly. And I think, again, it folds into the discussion that we're amplifying today is obviously we have the social determinants of health, the frameworks that there are other factors beyond like the direct delivery of healthcare services, such as housing, education, economic opportunity, et cetera. So the social determinants of health aspect is a huge driver of how do we improve outcomes. I think, Dr. Dodd's book, you know, I think of the improvement of health outcomes, it's like 50% improvement, only 5% of that improvement came from the actual delivery of healthcare services. So the other improvements come from the improvement of the other factors that influence the social determinants of health. So if we can influence policy that are going to push advances in any of these silos in the social determinants of health, that's like the biggest mover, right? That's where you can have the most impact.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining Black Health. Thank you for the work that you do. It is important. It's very bothersome to me when I hear about, you know, further gentrification in Miami climate gentrification, a lot of what we're hearing today. So it's good to know that there are people like you fighting the good fight and are supporting the community.
That's great. I'll add one more thing. And it's also kind of transforming like the policy related approaches, like the solutions finding strategies that government actors and market actors use to solve problems, and particularly in the housing space. And that goes, you know, you have this massive influx of what's called supply side support, where you're going to support developers and other kind of institutions that are going to make the choices as to where to place housing and then health related assets. And so we're trying to shift the focus to transfer those resources to demand side, like demand side assets to support those who are actually going to receive the services so that they can make the choices to stay in the communities, again, communities of opportunity with better health, better housing, better education, better opportunity, et cetera.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So Mike DeLuca, you are the chairman of the board of the Health Foundation of South Florida, right?
Yes, I am.
And what is your role as the chairman of the board?
Well, the chairman of the board is actually picks the committee members, and the board as a group picks the vision of where we're going to go. So I've been very excited. This is my second year,
okay.
Being the board chair, and very supportive of the Black Health Summit, too.
Very good. How important was it to collaborate with community organizations and healthcare providers and other stakeholders to organize and execute the Black Health Summit?
Well, you need the community providers as part of the conveners, because if not, you can't get the message out. And also, you need the grassroots coming back into the conversation, because they're the ones who deal with the clients. So it was very important for us to have everybody convening and being participants of this process here. And last year, I think we funded three projects that came out of the summit. Maternal and child health was one of them.
Yes.
Sorry, I don't remember the other two, but that one.
I don't either. I was here as well.
I know, right? We're trying.
Yes, we are. What do you hope to see as an outcome of the Black Health Summit?
I'm hoping the same as I saw last year, where we look at priorities and we're able to fund those priorities based on community needs and input from the community, because that's the key. I think, you know, I was talking earlier with a few people, the downward approach doesn't work. It needs to go both ways, down and up, and that's how you get the best outcomes.
Absolutely. Well, I very much look forward to the fourth annual Black Health Summit next year. I will be in attendance, I'm sure, if God willing. And thank you so much for being on Black Health today. Appreciate your time. You are watching Black Health. Stay tuned. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We'll be back with more of the Black Health Summit here at Florida Memorial University.
I grew up down here in South Florida, so for me, it's a little bit more personal.
For the Mesman and Dover Law Firm, it's about community.
For us, South Florida's our home. You all are our people.
Our family, our future.
The difference we'll make for you, your loved ones, your kids, matters, because to us, it's personal.
If you need us, call us 24/7 at 866-954-MORE.
That's 866-954-6673. The Mesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com.
Help comes in many forms. As a Miami-Dade County bus operator, you can help your community, help those in need, and even help yourself. Operators have the opportunity to earn more than $50,000 a year plus built-in overtime, earn more than 13 paid holidays and vacation days, and take advantage of the tuition reimbursement program. Plus, qualified new drivers will receive a $5,000 sign-on bonus. Become a driving force in our community. Apply now at miamidade.gov/busdriver.
Welcome back. You are watching Black Health. We are live at Florida Memorial University with the third annual Black Health Summit. Welcome to Black Health. We are talking to Professor Daniel Dawes. I'm going to take a moment to introduce you, if that is okay. Daniel Dawes is a widely respected healthcare and public health leader and health policy expert. He serves as the Senior Vice President of Global Health at Meharry Medical College and the founding Dean of the School of Global Health. He is a nationally recognized voice in the health equity movement, author of several books, including 150 Years of Obamacare. Mr. Dawes, Professor Dawes, led the negotiations and formulation of the ACA Obamacare. And there's so many more things on your resume, Professor Dawes, that I can't get to that I would love to. You have a very impressive resume.
Thank you.
My first question for you, we speak a lot about the social determinants of health, and we've been talking about those for many years. And you talk about the political determinants of health. How do those two relate?
Oh my gosh, great question. So back in 2008, when the World Health Organization had come out with its commission report on the social determinants of health, David Satcher, Dr. David Satcher, who was the 16th Surgeon General of the United States, he's been a great friend and mentor of mine. And I remember having a conversation, you know, years after the report had been published. And I said, you know, when we were working on the Affordable Care Act, and when that report came out, we thought, gee, this is so insightful. This is exactly what we need to be talking about, right? We needed this evidence to move policy differently. But then as I continued to read, I said, you know, Dr. Satcher, I kept thinking, though, there was something I was wrestling with, just didn't sit right with me, that we were missing what was instigating the social determinants of health. What led to these structural conditions in which we all are born into, we live in, and we eventually die in? And when you think about it, and you think about, let's say, we know transportation is a critical social determinant, or we know housing is another critical determinant. Why is it that we see disproportionalities among certain folks? What has led to that result, that some have access and others don't? And from my lens, it boiled down to this political determinant of health. It is the instigator of these social determinants of health. It is that systematic process of structuring the relationships in our society, of distributing resources, right, whether equally or unequally, and administering power. And how has that operated over time to create this, the social determinants of health that we all wrestle with day in and day out?
So what is underlying the political determinants of health? The political determinants sort of underlie the social. What is the underlying or root cause of the political determinants of health?
My God, you're absolutely right. Underlying those is racism. That has been the heart of the matter. And I use an example for folks who say, well, what do you mean? Going back to 1641, this was the period in our history when the forces of ill will, as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. called them, were hell-bent on making sure that they maintained the status quo, that they preserved their business model of slavery. And they crafted this policy called the Body of Liberties Law, first in Massachusetts, to ensure that they could legalize slavery and continue it. Well, we saw what happens, right? When abolitionists, health equity champions, if you will, come in and say, we interpret this to mean that it's just those who were brought over, right, on slave ships are deemed for purposes of the law slaves, but we didn't intend for this, or shouldn't be interpreted to include the offspring of these folks. What do you see happening? Again, these racist forces amended the law, so the commercial interest and the policymakers working in tandem to amend it to ensure that the offspring of Black and slave folks would for generations be deemed slaves. And that's that. And you can see how racism creeps up in our policies, in our structures, from 1600s into the 1700s, into the 1800s, into the 1900s. And even when you change the approach, right, where you were or they were racially excluding folks, right, from benefiting from social and economic policies, what do? They say, fine, well, we're going to create facially neutral policies. So it doesn't deny one racial or ethnic group based on their racial or ethnic background or country of origin, but we're going to have it so that it has the same effect in the way that we design it, to exclude certain kinds of folks, right? Professions or whatever. Mm. So you have to be savvy to understand how racism seeps in our society and into our laws that eventually, you know, are used to maintain the status quo.
Thank you. Very well said. Professor Dawes, thank you so much for your vision, your work, your dedication, your perseverance in health equity. We appreciate all that you do. I continue to support you, and I look forward to what you'll be doing for health equity in the future. So thank you so much for being on Black Health.
The feeling is mutual. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate it.
So we welcome to Black Health today, Dr. Armen Henderson.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. You are the Assistant Professor of Medicine at the University of Miami. an internal medicine physician, board certified, hospitalist, educator, community organizer, founder and executive director of the Dade County Street Response. You're very busy.
That sounds like a mouthful, doesn't it?
It does. But it means you're doing great work. What are the functions of the Dade County Street Response, and what social injustices did you observe that led to its creation?
Yeah, I'll say that being a community organizer within Dream Defenders helped me launch Dade County Street Response. What I was seeing was that physicians were disconnected from the everyday struggles of individuals who are experiencing tumultuous life and health disparities on the ground. And it felt like an injustice that we only saw people during a snapshot of their lives in the hospital when so much was happening out in the community that we were just not abreast of. And so Dade County Street Response started doing Stop the Bleed workshops in Liberty City. And then because we were asked to do so, individuals there were seeing gun violence at alarming rates and experiencing it. And not only that, but being traumatized that they weren't able to respond to their loved ones who were being shot in the street. And so we brought Stop the Bleed directly to community people. We've done about 50 or so workshops since then. And since then, we've also added other programs that are similar that, you know, the community identified that they needed. So the street medicine team services unsheltered populations on foot in Overtown. And we've been going out for the last 2.5 years every Saturday. We have a disaster relief team. We have an advocacy and organizing team for medical students and medical professionals. And then we also have an education and programming track as well.
So you really are addressing many of the social determinants of health that are, you know, much of the focus of this Black Health Summit. One of those is housing. How does housing stability or instability affect physical and mental health?
It's a big driver of physical and mental health. I think during the conference today, the summit, it was an individual that stood up and said that that, you know, we come in and we say we need to address your diabetes, but they have a whole laundry list of things that come before diabetes, and usually housing is before that. If people live in unstable or are living unsheltered, it really affects their ability to live life. So much so that it causes enormous amounts of stress on individuals. And even though we're not a housing organization ourselves per se, we do work with local organizations who do provide housing in the form of shelter and another form of housing to get people ready to get in. Oftentimes what we found is that, you know, people enter into a program and they don't have the proper ID, or they don't have ID at all, or they need some sort of social service, but they don't have what step comes before the social service. And so our organization serves to give patient grants to individuals who need those things so that they can be ready to receive whatever social services that they may need. But housing, I would say, is one of the most important things when it comes to social determinants of health. Solely because if you don't have a stable place to live, if you're out in the street when it's 110 degrees outside, or if you live in a house with substandard roofing conditions, these directly affect your ability to survive. So much so that it probably is one of the driving mechanisms of decreased life expectancy overall in patients who need housing overall.
Absolutely. Dr. Armin Henderson, you're a very inspiring young man, young physician.
Thank you.
Thank you for all that you are doing and continue to do, I'm sure. Keep on keeping on, fighting the good fight. And thank you for being on Black Health. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much.
You're a busy guy.
Thank you.
Thank you. You are watching Black Health. Stay tuned. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We'll be back with more of the Black Health Summit here at Florida Memorial University.
I grew up down here in South Florida, so for me, it's a little bit more personal.
For the Mesman and Dover Law Firm, it's about community.
For us, South Florida's our home. You all are our people.
Our family. Our future.
The difference we'll make for you, your loved ones, your kids, matters. Because to us, it's personal.
If you need us, call us 24/7 at 866-954-MORE.
That's 866-954-6673. De Mesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com.
Help comes in many forms. As a Miami-Dade County bus operator, you can help your community, help those in need, and even help yourself. Operators have the opportunity to earn more than $50,000 a year plus built-in overtime, earn more than 13 paid holidays and vacation days, and take advantage of the tuition reimbursement program. Plus, qualified new drivers will receive a $5,000 sign-on bonus. Become a driving force in our community. Apply now at miamidade.gov/busdriver.
Welcome back. You are watching Black Health. We are live at Florida Memorial University with the third annual Black Health Summit. Welcome to Black Health, Dr. Jermaine Smith-Bow. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You are the president and chief executive officer of the Urban League of Broward County.
At least that's what they tell me almost.
That's what your paycheck says?
That's what they say.
What role does employment play in determining an individual's health?
Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, when we think about having the opportunity to be fully employed, it gives us access to healthcare, right? Or most full-time positions gives us access to healthcare. And with that access to healthcare, we now have options. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is one of the major opportunities, right, that comes with that. But also the idea of employment, when we think about social determinants of health, assuming that you're employed in a place that is able to give you a positive, you know, environment for you to work within. That definitely, I know for the near 29 years that I've worked at the Urban League, that that is definitely being in an environment that supports who I am as a person, that has supported my growth over the years, has helped with my mental wellness, has helped with my physical health, you know, and the like. And I think finally, employment also gives individuals meaning to who they are, how they show up, what they do. So I think when you're able to combine the physical, mental, emotional, and social aspects of your life, it just gives you an overall brighter perspective on the way in which you want to show up in this world.
I think you answered this question. How do job conditions influence health disparities? Maybe to some extent you touched on it.
But yeah, I would even say as I think about the role that I play as a chief executive officer, you know, we are gatekeepers. When you lead the company, you are a gatekeeper in terms of what type of health insurance options are available. And I know over the years, I have definitely been influenced by my own story as I go about making decisions as it relates to the health for the rest of the organization. When I started at the Urban League, I wasn't a mother. Over the years, I had two children, now 21 and 17. That influenced the way that I looked at the healthcare options that my staff has as I am moving into other aspects and other journeys of my life. It does change the way in which you look at opportunities for your, you know, staff. One thing that came up most recently that I don't think that we as leaders think about is the issue around women who are choosing to have children later in life. Yes. And what does that mean in terms of, are there options within the healthcare network that you choose to give those women options related to counseling around what impact that might be for their family, and being able to have resources for them? Honestly, I had never thought about that until individuals within my workplace were having challenges in reproductive health. So again, I think as leaders within organizations, our experiences does influence how we go about the options that we provide, and we should be really cognizant about that overall.
It's nice to know that leaders in organizations are thinking from the perspective.
So.
Yeah,
I hope so. Yeah. And I don't know if we do until we are truly challenged in conversation or surrounded by others who are doing out of the box, you know, type of conversations. People now saying, which generation? I have a family, I have elders. What does that now mean for healthcare options for the entire family? You know? So I think there are things that we could be doing and probably doing better to create more healthy environments for our staff. And then at the end of the day, what does that do? Gives us greater and better employees and helps us to grow our business.
Absolutely. Has the Urban League identified any primary health disparities within the local Black and minority communities in Broward County?
Absolutely. We actually had the opportunity, and the report is now quite old. It was done in 2012. We did a State of Black Broward Health Report. And at that point in time, of the six pillars that the Urban League works in, so we do education, entrepreneurship, jobs, justice, housing, and health. Health was the smallest pillar that, and small by budget size. Mm-hmm. And we decided that we wanted to use data to drive where we would go in terms of looking at resources. So one of the areas that clearly came up was the issue of chronic diseases, particularly diabetes. So we launched what we actually call Living Well, which is a program that focuses on not only the person that is living with that chronic disease of diabetes, but also the caretaker. So we use data to create information to drive the recommendations and decisions. Through a relationship with Florida Blue, we will be doing an update to that report in the next year. So I'm really looking forward to how that will drive our opportunities to look at what we might be able to, what has been working and where there are gaps. The second area that we work deeply in is maternal health. And that is actually driven by my own story, but driven by data. The idea of Black maternal health, birthing our babies healthy and strong, yes, and of course, having our mothers and their birthing process, their pregnancy and birthing process in a positive way. So we spend a lot of time and attention in that area, and we run very successful programs in our maternal health space.
Well, thank you for being on Black Health. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for all that you do in Broward County and with the Urban League. And I'm sure you will continue on that journey for many, many more years to come, hopefully.
Best to go. Okay. Best to go.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on Black Health. It's a pleasure. Well, that brings us to a conclusion of today's episode of Black Health. It has been an amazing journey at this Black Health Summit here at Florida Memorial University, sponsored by the Health Foundation of South Florida. We will see you next year for the 4th annual Black Health Summit.
MIA Media Group. We are the largest distributors of Black content in the state of Florida. We editorialize the success and achievement of the Black South Florida community. Our platforms are print, digital, and broadcast. We are Black Excellence.